Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Virtue Signal. I'm Bill Whittle with my friend Alfonso Rachel, and you probably know the drill by now. We try to talk a little bit more about philosophy than really the hard politics of the day, but we try to tie it into something. So, Zoe, a couple things I saw just in the last day or two that brought me a possible idea. One of them was the women's soccer team losing in the opening round to Sweden and how good I felt about it. Because they're tremendously anti-American. And then just yesterday or today, Joe Biden said that he was talking about unvaccinated Americans. And he said, I think he said, you're not as smart as I thought you were. So let's talk about hubris. Why don't we? This idea of this kind of, it's obviously a kind of an arrogance and a kind of a certainty, but there's something particularly repulsive about hubris, about because when I think of like Megan Rapinoe or whatever her name is, you know, she does this big thing every time she scores a goal, and it's not just her. We talked about heroism last time, so I don't really need to go there, but there's something about like almost like tempting the forces to do something about it that usually causes the forces to do something about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, pride, and like I say, you know, I know when I talk about these things, you know, I certainly don't want to step on any toes, man, because I know it sounds preachy and stuff like that. And I certainly don't like to be preached to. I don't mind the truth. I can listen to the truth all day. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when I bring up this thing about pride and my aversions to it, my biblical basis of it, I hope folks can understand that when we, there's a message that tells us what pride leads to, whether people want to call it pride or braggadocio, or whether they want to call it arrogance or hubris or whichever, it's all coming from the same place. And it's a subtle thing. You know, and that's why the word tells us the first thing to know about the devil is that he works in subtleties. We look at these things and we say, oh, no, that's okay. And it just keeps growing and keeps on growing. This thing that has happened right now that the word has warned us against, and the thing that I was, you know, reminding folks of, if you keep being complicit with this, if you find that it's okay and you don't see any harm with it and let people do what it is that they want to do, it's like, yeah, you can do what it is that you want to do, but you're trying to force people in to endorse it. Remember the good old days when it used to be, you know, what goes on in my bedroom is my business and all that sort of stuff. Well, what happened? You know, now you want to make this a public affair and everybody has to be caught up with it. And now it's being entangled in pretty much everything that, you know, that was either a luxury or something that you enjoy or things that are necessary to preserve our republic. It's infiltrated all that. And I was the fuddy-duddy saying, you might not want to do that. You know, yeah. Jesus said you might know, you and your Jesus. It's like, okay, well, you know. So anyway, here's where we are. And now we're having to stomach the pride of these people and who can't even be proud. If they're going to use the word proud, you can't even be proud in your own gender. You're forfeiting your gender in the name of your gender. You know, none of the stuff makes any sense. And like I said, it's the Olympics of victimhood. It's the Olympics of personal pride, the Olympics of this victim mentality and being owed and all these things that we're having to witness. And, you know, unfortunately, it's gonna get worse.
Well, the word hubris is Greek, obviously. And they had this idea that there were these two forces. Hubris would be the ability, you know, the willingness to brag about something, the willingness to essentially defy God, you know, and say, I'm the bomb. And then opposite hubris was nemesis. And nemesis was the God's way of knocking you back down a peg. You mentioned that this form of pride goeth before the fall. Mm. And that's, I think, something that's really particularly interesting about hubris. First of all, if you want a real good example of pride going before the fall, Joe Biden's, I want to say, 1988 political presidential campaign was derailed because somebody asked him a tough question. Mm. And he immediately started saying, I'm an awful lot smarter than you. I graduated top of my class. And anyway, he goes on for like this 3-minute tirade about how smart he is. Right. And that was the end of his campaign. And rightfully so. When people hear somebody telling you about how great they are in any particular area, when Megan Rapinoe does that look at me, look how glorious I am pose, it's obviously a sign of insecurity, and there's something built into human nature that makes you want to smack this people. One of the things that I've done rarely, because it is essentially sacrilegious, but sometimes when I'm watching a football game with a bunch of friends of mine, and the Gators are up by, you know, 2-3 touchdowns, I'll stand up and say, God himself could not take this victory away from the Gators. And everybody just immediately says, shut up. You know, you just shut up, because it's wired into us to believe that there is a form of retribution, form of retributive justice that goes with this. You know, hey man, the freeways are clear. I've never seen the freeways look this good instantly. You know, don't talk about how good the freeways are. Everybody just keep your mouth shut. I've always been fascinated by this sense that if you say something that you know to be arrogant and you say it for arrogant purposes, it's almost like the baseball bat's already swinging for your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's usually when folks want to make, you know, such a, you know, a rhetorical statement, if you will, or a hyperbolic statement like that, it's usually God that they lean on for, because you know that it doesn't get any higher than that. It's like, that's another thing that's wired into us. It's like, we'll use, well, it's like, you know, when we say, God himself couldn't, that it's always, it usually goes, people don't say Buddha himself couldn't do it. They don't say Allah himself couldn't do it, or Shiva or Vishnu. They don't say that. Zeus, or even Zeus couldn't take this. No, they always go to God, because the buck stops with God. And God can definitely take whatever he wants. But I mean, but that's what we do. To make this very impactful statement, we'll lean on God, and God can take it. You know, he's shouldered a lot of things. He's shouldered a lot more than Atlas has. But that's a thing of, you know, when we want to make these statements, and even right now, we're dealing with, unfortunately, even when we do have statements that we may say for, you know, even rhetorical purposes, or saying them tongue in cheek and stuff like that, the unfortunate thing is that does carry out into attitudes that rule over us. Right now, we have a government that has the assumption of not even God could take this seat away from us.
That's exactly where I wanted to go with this, is just the pride and the arrogance and the hubris of this government, and the hubris of people like Dr. Fauci, and the hubris of all of it, this sense that I'm infallibly right. And this is the I think the reason that both in real life so many times, and mythologically, and like almost like emotionally, the reason we want to see these people get smacked down, the reason I was so happy to see the American women's soccer team lose, was because of just the obnoxious hubris of them and the anti-Americanism. It's like, this is, you just got what you deserved. Mm-hmm. But the real danger from hubris is it's at you, as you mentioned, it's very incremental and it's very creeping. So here's an interesting story. There's a YouTube channel I like called Fascinating Horror, and it talks about little, you know, strange disasters throughout history. And they were talking about this firework explosion at a firework factory in the Netherlands in 2000. And they said that this factory had started in 1977 and had a perfect safety record. Mm. And that from the very beginning, they were absolutely safety conscious. And what happened was, and this is the same kind of hubris we see with NASA, is that once you get used to doing something well, you just assume that you will continue to do it well, and the standards start to slip, and you start hearing things like, well, maybe, you know, we're storing actually 3 times more gunpowder in this place than it was originally designed to hold. The business has been doing great. Should we worry about that? No, we've got an excellent safety record, and we take our safety very seriously. You know what I mean? It's almost like your success in the past is your worst enemy in terms of guarding against this sort of laxity that causes so many of our problems in the future.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, these are things that we're governed by, you know, in nature. You know, these things are going to, you know, include things like gravity, time, space, and decay. You know, everything decays and things have to be maintained. If people value safety, safety isn't something that's just always going to, you know, perpetuate itself. It has to be maintained. And that translates into a lot of things, whether it's your, you know, your machinery or instruments, you know, your marriage or your friendships or a nation. You know, there's these things have to be maintained because there's always going to be things that are always going to try to decay it. So, you know, you can't ever just be lax about it. One can't just assume that we can just enjoy these things indefinitely. Like, okay, we have freedom. All right, well, I'm freedom from having to worry about freedom because I'm just free. And that's just the way that it's going to be. And people shouldn't be surprised that somebody like the Biden administration is going to come in and try to, you know, infiltrate our processes to take his seat. You know, these things are always going to happen, you know, and if we don't maintain it, they will decay into the things that we're looking at now.
This hubris has been such a ongoing companion for humanity and caused so much pain and problems and the arrogance and the catastrophes that come out of that arrogance. Every now and then, a society will recognize the danger of hubris, and they'll do something like, well, I don't know, write a constitution, let's say, that legally limits the amount of power that a person can amass. Mm. And these kind of things actually work pretty well, folks, for a couple hundred years until we start ignoring them. But even people as brutal as the Romans understood the power of the danger of this kind of thing. When a Roman centurion or an emperor would come back from a particularly successful campaign and he's got this tremendous triumph, which is a processional parade through Rome, he's got all these captured soldiers and kings and all of the rose petals being thrown at him all the time. Mm. And standing behind him on a chariot was a slave holding the laurel wreath over his head, telling him that fame is fleeting, that they even they understood that if you let this go to your head, the successes that you just had will be taken away from you by your own unwillingness to realize that your faults are kind of built into the human condition.
Yes.
That'll do it for this edition of the Virtue Signal made possible by the members here at BillWhittle.com, to whom we're very, very grateful and continue to remain grateful to. For my friend Alfonso Rachel, I'm Bill Whittle. We'll see you next time right here on the Virtue Signal.